We've been studying the Gershites, and we've been looking at them for a couple teachings, and I want to finish them today. What are these seven evil spirits? Well, you can just look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, and see the names of them, of the people. These were people, groups, cultures that God said absolutely wiped them off the face of the map. That's what he said. And then over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, Joshua gave, you know, the Lord gave Joshua some land called Israel. It was the land of the Hittites, and that's your problem with all that going on over there and all the hatred that's going on over there and elsewhere is because of the very fact that they want their land back because the land was based on evil activity. The land of the Hittites, all these individuals, cultures in Deuteronomy 7, verse 1 and 2, directly available today. Now, the cultures aren't there. The people aren't there. The evil spirits still are. The evil spirits still are. Now, we looked at the Gershites. The Gershites are people that, and they were very interested in things of the earth. They were earthly. And I talked about that for, two or three sessions, teaching sessions. All this will be up at the appropriate time on the website. Okay, on the website. All this will go to the website with the different groups. Now, we've been looking at the individuals that are affected by the Gershites, and they are affected today because people deal with that. We don't have time that we can do all the different areas that we talked about. So let's go to Numbers chapter 11 because I try to make every teaching complete in itself. You can take that teaching and you have something to look at and study in itself. Okay? All right. Now, let's go there. And you're going to see something that relates to the people of God and these spirits. All right? Numbers 11, verse 4 through 6. I'll tell you, as you're turning or looking, I'll tell you what happened. The people are complaining, and it displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it. His anger was kindled, and fire came out and burnt them and consumed them in various parts of the camp. And then the people cried to Moses, and Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. Okay? In verse 3, they named the place. All right, now verse 4 is where we want to go. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, circle that, fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Okay, 5, remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. 6. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Now the food in Egypt, they said, we remember what we ate in Egypt. National disdain for what God was doing. National disdain. That's what they're doing. They're lusting about what happened and the food they ate in bondage. And they disdain things of the spirit and lusted after things of the flesh. Flesh is clay. Right? We're made from the dust of the earth. We're clay. So they began to complain. They don't like God's food. They want food in the flesh that they ate in Egypt when they were slaves. They rather eat slave food than God's food. They rather be wrapped up in slavery and eating that stuff than be free in the spirit and physically and eat God's stuff. Because that was the flesh crying out. Now go down to verse 31. This is the spirit of the Gershites. Go down to verse 31. Go on down there. I'm going down there. So God said, okay. Okay. Verse 31 of Numbers 11, if you're just joining us. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp. And it was a day's journey on this side, and it was a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp. And it was 2 cubits high upon the earth. You could walk a day's journey where the quail fell. Millions of quail fell. 2 cubits high. A cubic's about 18 inches. So it's 3 feet high, right? 3 feet high, as far as you can walk, every direction for a day. For a day. So it fell. Verse 32. And the people stood up all day and all the night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. And he that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and spread them above all themselves around the camp. They got a lot of what? They got a lot of what? Quail. I mean, they just picked it up. They picked that quail up. They sure did. Now we got the quail, right? We got it. We got it. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to pick it up. They're running around picking the quail up. And they have so much of it that it just overwhelms them. Now watch this. 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed. They're eating the quail. The wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Wow. See, that's what happens. That's what occurs. So Israel was famous for naming places where major events occurred. They were very famous for calling locations certain names. Bethel, house of God, you know. And you see this in the scripture. So they decide to name a cemetery. Verse 34. Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Wow. Know what that big name means? Look it up in your own concordances. It means graves of lust. Think about this. They name the place, the cemetery was called Graves of Lust and Covetedness. Whoa! How would you like to be buried in the cemetery? You know, like it looks on the obituary where it says interment in Graves of Lust and Covetedness Cemetery. Wow. Wow. See, that quail, and I want you to see that there's some really insightful words here. In verse 32, they worked all day and all the night and the next day. Think of this. Picking up the quail. Why? Because their heads were always down. Where were the quail? They're on the ground. The quail was on the ground. And they were not dead quail. They were alive quail. Doesn't say the quail was dead. It said quail was on the ground. You can pick up quail. They're easy to catch. And when you have that many of them, it's even easier. Because they were workaholics. That's what they did. Focus on earthly things. And they died before they enjoyed the quail. Now you talk about earthly minded. Yes. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 21. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 21. I want you to see this. Here is a situation where there was an encounter with Jesus, and one of the company, verse 13, sent him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divideth the inheritance with me." All right? Person concerned with receiving temporal inheritance. That's what that is. Talk to my brother. See? Now, it's inheritance. It's inheritance. And he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?" Look at this. 15. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not about the abundance of the things which he possesses." And he speaks a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?'" There's nothing wrong with that. People get a hold of that and say, "There's nothing wrong with that." He was enterprising. And he said, "This will I do. I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and now I bestow all my fruits and my goods." I'm gonna expand my operation. I'm gonna expand my operation. I'm gonna go out and become a larger businessman. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Here's where it got wrong. "And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" There's the problem right there. Not because the trees were producing, not because his enterprise was getting larger, not because he had to expand and build barns that are larger and put the stuff in there to store. No, Joseph did that in Egypt, didn't he? Where he stored up the wheat for 7 years because of the famine. Nothing wrong with that. It's verse 19. "I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And God said in verse 20, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall require of thee, and who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It's not the treasure you own. That's not it. That's not it. That's not the problem. The problem is not rich toward God. You can lay up treasure and be rich toward God the way Joseph was. See, understand the context here. Nothing wrong with things. I thank God for people that have that have means. I do. I do. Why? Because they're givers. People of means are givers. They give. They've learned the lesson of sowing and reaping. They give. They give to the ministry. They give. Some large amounts. Some very large amounts. They give. Why? Because their heart is for God. Nothing wrong with having things as long as your heart is for God. That's right. You can have them, but your priorities got to be right. Everything can't be on that one thing. Here am I, he said. I got it all. I enlarge and make a lot of money here. I can just kick back and say, go ahead, don't worry about it. The problem was not with the stuff. The problem was his heart wasn't right with God. And that's the problem. That's the problem. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 4. We know where the problem is. Gershites, that spirit gets you looking at the earthly things. It's all about today. It's all about this life. It's nothing about heaven or eternity. Look at 16, verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4. For which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Absolutely. 17, for our light affliction is what for a moment worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Excuse me. And we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's exactly right. Everything is temporal. And the spirit of the Gershites is now, today, it, now. Earth, nothing about tomorrow, everything about today, nothing about eternity, everything about today. And what we go through is a light affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory, because there's a higher vision of calling. Now in Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 5. Okay, let's look at that. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Absolutely. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Absolutely. 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now look at this verse 5. Look at the warning here. Mortify therefore your members which is upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is adultery. Notice this. Mortify, separate yourself, which are upon the earth. Things above, not earthly things. Things above. So you're not functioning in that Gershite spirit. And that's why people, get a hold of the Gershite spirit in their life, and they just zero in on that stuff. They have no spiritual appetite. I heard something this morning that made my heart sad. It was a newscast. We just reported the news, and they said that the church attendance is down greater than it's been in decades. And then they said that church attendance was running around 42% in the evangelicals among the Christians lately, in recent days, the church attendance is 30%. And that scares me. And then they said, of the surveys we took, it's the young women that no longer want to go to church. Didn't say anything about the men. Said the young women are not going to church. So statistic-wise, 10 ladies are standing together, 3 will attend church, and 7 will stay home. And that's of the Christians, not the unbelievers. That's about 100%, right? That's what's going on. That's that spirit of the now. We got to have it now. We got to live for today. We don't care about tomorrow. We live for today. Here's Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thought higher than your thoughts. The Gershite spirit, that spirit will keep you looking at earthly things, the things of clay, things of clay, things of clay, things in the now, things that'll pass away. That's what the spirit of the Gershites will do. We've looked at 2 of the 7. Tomorrow, the Amorites, and they are dangerous.